We start to hear of Yitzchak's blindness, and that's a topic which has implications lahalacha, although truth is, for most of tonight's discussion, we'll actually be talking about something that's probably not relevant to halacha. Halacha, a shita that's probably not accepted, but is the topic of much discussion nonetheless. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, and Daf Pizayim and Aleph, that Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that Suma is Potem and Amitzvahs. And the Suma is not Chayiv and Mitzvahs. And he was of the opinion that therefore he was not Chayiv and Mitzvahs. And he used to think that he's better because he would do mitzvahs anyway, even though he wasn't chayiv in mitzvahs. And he thought that was something that put him a leg up on everyone else. But then he found out that Chazal had the perspective of Gadol HaMetzuvah V'Yoseh Mishein HaMetzuvah V'Yoseh, that it's better to do mitzvahs that you're chayiv in than to do mitzvahs that you're not chayiv in. So then he decided he'd rather be chayiv. But his opinion was, at the time, that he is not chayiv in mitzvahs. Now, it happens to be that, as we'll see, this is a topic of much discussion, but it's very doubtful that we paskin like this. It's generally assumed that there is one opinion in the Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Yerucham, who is quoted in later sources, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Summa is Patim Mekol Mitzvahs, but most Rishonim seem to disagree, among them the Ran and Kedushin and Daf Lamed Aleph. And that's how the Magen Avraham assumes, and that's how the Mishneh Berurah assumes. Well, Lach L'maisa, it seems to be pretty much across the board that most poskim are assuming, against the Rabbeinu Yerucham, that Tumah is really Chayiv b'mitzvahs. Nonetheless, that didn't stop there from developing an entire literature around this position of Rabbi Yehuda. So for the first significant percentage of our discussion tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the discussions within this position. Although, as I mentioned, There is a majority view that Tumah is chayiv in mitzvahs, and to that extent, the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Therefore, it doesn't matter. You can have a blind shliach tzibur, Lechavas Yarah the Tshuva and Siman Kufayin Vav, where he suggests that maybe it's not so chachilah to have a blind shliach tzibur for a Shon Yom Kippur, but it doesn't seem like he means that to the Eved. And that is a general assumption that Summa is Chayiv Mitzvahs. But within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, there is a very large literature and a number of details that are discussed. Among them is the position of Tosus over there in Bava Kamma. Tosus also repeats this in Erevin and Daf Tzadi Vav, that even Rabbi Yehuda only meant that a Summa is Patim and a Mitzvahs min HaTorah. However, Midrabanan, a Summa is Chayiv Mitzvahs. Because Tosus assumes that if someone was really Patim and Mitzvos, then that would take away their appearance of being a Jew. That would infringe on their ability to appear Jewish. And therefore, Chazal didn't want that to happen, so Chazal attached a Chiyuv Midrabanan to do mitzvahs. The Rashba, however, disagrees with this. Rashba in Bava Kamma says the pashas of the Gemara seems to be, especially the way Rabbi Yehuda was talking, it sounds like there was nothing at all obligating him to mitzvahs. And if he was chayiv drabanan, it wouldn't be such a chav for him to say, oh, I do mitzvahs, I'm not mitzvah v'yosei, it's chayiv drabanan. So the Rashba disagreed with this tosis and felt that the Summa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Summa's pater for mitzvahs in Gansen. But there is this position of tosis and many others, that the Summa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Summa is chayiv mitzvahs midrabanan. This is really what Rabbi Yerucham holds also. Rabbi Yerucham, who holds that a Summa is Patim, which is a Patim like Rabbi Yehuda, still believes that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, or at least according to Halacha, the way he paskins, a Summa is still Chayiv Midrabanan. That's what Rabbi Yerucham writes. A Summa is Patim Mitzvahs, but Chayiv Midrabanan. So that view within Rabbi Yehuda is a view that Tosfos is expounding against the Rashba and others. This whole approach that Tosfos seems to have, that without mitzvahs, you look like you're not Jewish at all, and that's a big problem. So that's something that, if you want to take a look, Moshe Feinstein discusses in his Dibros Moshe Kedushin, I believe. I forgot exactly where, but somewhere in Dibros Moshe Kedushin, so Moshe Feinstein has a chakira about this whole idea of the assumption that a Summa is Patim and a mitzvahs. So does that mean to say that there's just some kula that the Torah puts on a Summa, doesn't want to obligate him in the burden of all these extra mitzvahs, of all the mitzvahs? Or is there perhaps some chisaron in the Kedushin Yisrael there, for some reason, that would create such a p'tur according to Rabbi Yehuda? That's why Tosfos seems to feel that maybe you have to come and counteract that by imposing a chiyuv drabbanan. So that's a discussion that Moshe Feinstein has in the Dibros Moshe. And again, that's all within the context. That's all within the context of this position of Rabbi Yehuda. Further in the context of this position is another discussion in Achronim, popularized by the Prima Gadim and his Psicha Kolelas, and taken up by the Nod of Yehuda, as we'll see in a second, and Rabbi Kiva Eger. Question of what about mitzvahs losa say? Are we basically saying that a summa is pater from all mitzvahs? Or, so that consequently meaning that a summa is allowed to eat treifus, a summa is allowed to wear shatan, is allowed to do all kinds of avers? Or do we mean no, that he's only pater from mitzvah say? But losa say is the chayivim. So that's a dispute among the achronim, so chakir in the Prima Gadim, and the Shuvas Noid Behuda. I think it's in Reish Yud Daled. Sorry, the Nod Behuda has a position that the Summa is pater from all mitzvahs, mitzvahs asay and los asay. And Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees with this. Rabbi Akiva Eger in his Shuvas in Chelak Aleph and Siman Kuf San Machtas, and also in Chelak Beis and Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, and also in his Chidushim to Shulchan Aruch in Yoreh Day in Hilchos Shechita in Siman Aleph. You know, his test, Rabbi Akiva Eger has a number of expressions and rayas why he believes that it's not true, and that a summa, you have to say, is chayiv in losa says as well. There are a number of rayas on both sides, a number of rayas that Nod Behuda points out, a number of rayas that Rabbi Akiva Eger points out. We're not going to go into them all tonight, because it's a very lengthy discussion, and it's late, so we're not going to go into all the details. And a lot of Achronim afterwards picked up on this discussion, and Shuvas Marashag, and others. It's a major topic. One of the questions is, if you believe that a summa is potter even from losa says, so then you get into a question, how can you obligate a mitzvah rabbanan? How do the two sheets work together? Because if we assume that the ability to become obligated a mitzvah rabbanan has to do with the fact that we are all subject to a prohibition of losasar, so then how do you apply mitzvah rabbanan to somebody who's not chayiv even in losasar? Right, that's the problem you come into with a katan. Now, we normally assume that cotton is chayiv and mitzvahs midrabanan, and that creates a kind of logistical problem, because the obligation to listen to mitzvahs chazal comes from this isra of lo sasser. So if a cotton is not chayiv and mitzvahs in general, so at the same time he's not chayiv and mitzvahs, so there's no ability to be chayiv and mitzvahs midrabanan either. And that's why there is a position in Rishonim, that's part of why there is a position in Rishonim, that the obligation of ketanim doing mitzvahs is not on the cotton. It's on the father. The father has an obligation to train his kids to do mitzvahs midrabanan, but that the mitzvah is not on the cotton. That's a discussion Rishonim on both sides of that. But that's one of the problems that you get into with summa as well. So then you have to ask the question: so are summas really? Is a summa really pater from mitzvahs losa say? In the journal Hapardes, there was an article by Rav Shishkin, I forgot exactly when, where he has a couple of articles about this topic, and he wants to prove that he felt that it's got to be that a summa is pater across the board. Because if you want to say that a summa is pater from assays, but not from los assays, so why did Rabbi Huda think everything was so cool that he was doing mitzvahs without being obligated? He couldn't really do all the mitzvahs, because there are a lot of mitzvahs that we do because of essay dochalos essay, that we have a chiyuv essay that's pushing off halos essay. So every once in a while it was going to happen that everyone else would be doing a mitzvah essay, and Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't be able to, because he'd have a los essay stopping him, and he wouldn't have a real mitzvah essay being docha the los essay. So for that reason, it must be that it's parted from los essays as well. Most of the time it wouldn't come up. So whether or not you find that to be so compelling, I'll leave it up to you. It's just an interesting raya. You can decide on your own whether or not you find it to be compelling. The truth is, there are many, many other rayas on both sides. We're not going to get into all of them now. If you look in the Shuvas Noid Behuda and Rabbi Akiva Eger and many other achronim talk about this, if you want to give you a full list later, you'll see a much, much extensive discussion about this. There's also a discussion in achronim that the Menachas Chinuch brings up in Mitzvah Beis. The Menachas Chinuch assumes that even if we want to say that a Ben Noach, excuse me, that a Summa is pater from all mitzvahs, we still have to say that he's chayiv in the mitzvahs Ben Noach. Because to say that, it's one thing to say that he's not chayiv in all the extra mitzvahs that a Jew does, but to say he's not chayiv in the basic morality of humanity that's applicable to everybody, that's too much to assume. So at the very least, mitzvahs Ben Noach are incumbent upon a Summa. This is a suffix in the Tshuvas Nechash Shlomo as well, of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and it's Tshuvas Nechelek Aleph, and Tshuvas Nechelek Aleph has a suffix about this. He's not so sure. And this was brought up also in the Tshuvas Be'er Sarim, who discusses the question of whether or not, again, this is all within Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not there is a Be'er Sarim, whether or not a Summa is subject to the Chiyuv of Priyas Chov. The Gemara tells us in Ksubis that the obligation to pay back a loan is a mitzvah asay, so the Be'er Sarim has discussion, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would this apply to a Summa as well? And he points out that he quotes from earlier sources that he feels that Ben Noach, a non-Jew, was chayiv in the mitzvah of Priyas Chov, and since Summa is at the very least chayiv like Ben Noach, so they should be chayiv in Priyas Chov as well. That could be. That's a possibility. The Sefer Kli Gola, the Sefer Masechtes, the Masechtes Nedarim and Daf Chav Beis, has a little bit of a chakira also. According to Rabbi Yehuda, should a Ben Noach be chayiv in Nedarim? If he takes a neder and he says, that's the previous point. He said a summa be chayiv in Nedarim. If a summa says that he's going to do something, so is that binding at all? Because that's also something that really comes from mitzvah satara, comes from los hases. So is that something that's incumbent upon him? And perhaps there might be another side point that's relevant, that in general, so the Gemara criticizes somebody who takes upon themselves Nedarim. And the expression the Yerushalmi has about this is, Lo dai lachav ma she'asher Torah, it's not enough for you what the Torah asked. So maybe you could say that concept shouldn't apply to the Summa, because if you assume that he's potter from Los Haseis, so yeah, it's not enough for him because the Torah didn't ask for anything. So maybe the criticism of Nedarim shouldn't apply to him. So two sakas to have. So can a Summa take a neder? Is it binding? And if we assume he can, so is there any reason to criticize him the same way we criticize everyone else, because perhaps the criticism of Yishalmi of Lodai Lecha Moshe HaSatara shouldn't be relevant. It's an interesting chakira that's discussed in the Sefer Kli Gola. One major point that's brought up in Rishonim is, and this we alluded to earlier when we talked about davening for the Amid, so it's a question then, if a Summa is Padr, so how does that affect his ability to be mostly others in the mitzvahs? Let's assume for a second that Summa is Chayav Midrabanan, like Tosus, so let's say Kiddush, for example. So can a Summa be mostly his family in Kiddush? So that's a major problem then. So it's this question that prompted a well-known comment of the Rabbeinu Tuvia Mivienna, as quoted in the Mordechai. The Mordechai in the second paragraph of Megillah. This is quoted very often by Menachas Chinuch and by others. It comes up a lot in a lot of different contexts. The Mordechai in the second paragraph of Megillah quotes from Rabbeinu Tuvia Mivienna this question: how can a Summa be mostly his family in Kiddush? And there he suggests a Kiddush, which is not necessarily accepted by all Rishonim, but is definitely quoted a lot in later Svarim and is worth knowing about, that a Chiyuv Drabanan, who, it's a little vague what he means, sounds like it means a Chiyuv Drabanan who could theoretically come into a Chiyuv Daraisa can be Motzi a Chiyuv Daraisa. Because he discusses two other cases where this comes up. One case is making Kiddush on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says that you can make Kiddush on Erev Shabbos when it's still light, you can make Kiddush Friday afternoon. And so if you assume that Tosefa Shabbos works to make Shabbos into Shabbos Minat Torah, so then great. But let's say you don't assume like that. There's a position in Rishonim, perhaps the question with the Rambam's position is, but that's only Shabbos Midrabanan at best. So, and Kiddush is a mitzvah Minat Torah, so can you be Yotzei Kiddush during this time when it's only Shabbos Midrabanan? So there, the Rebbeinu Tuvia Mivienna says that, yeah, the same way, this rule applies also, and that since you're only chayiv midrabanan, but you will eventually be chayiv min haTorah, you're leading into a chayiv min haTorah, so you can be yotzei kiddush during that time. He also discusses the fact that the Gemara says that a person who eats a kezias of food, a kezias of bread, can be mostly somebody who is full, even though only somebody who's really full is chayiv benching min haTorah, and somebody who eats a kezias is only chayiv midrabanan. Nonetheless, the Gemara says that somebody who ate a kezias can mostly somebody who ate a daraisus. He says there again you see a proof that somebody who is chayv drabanan can mostly a daraisa. He says, although that might be different, because then at least that person has the ability to eat more and make himself be chayv minatar. And maybe that's different than a sumor, so maybe it's not such a good raya. But he says, look at Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, when you make Kiddush then, you don't really have the ability to make it into Shabbos, and still Kiddush could work, so perhaps that's a valid possibility.
to question whether or not this is true lacha maisa, but this is a major shita that a lot of Svarim talk about. The Mefeskina, who is particularly fond of this, he quotes it in a lot of different contexts. It comes up in the context of Svira, you know, a cotton being Yotze Svira before it becomes a bar mitzvah, the middle of Svira. So this is a popular shita that comes up, so it's good to know about. The Dvar Yoshua in his Tshuva has a couple of sveikas again within the Das of Rabbi Yehuda. So the context of that Gemara in Bava Kamma, where Rabbi Yehuda says, as soon as Patur from the mitzvahs, is talking about Chukim Mishpatim. So, and it says that Asuma is Patur from that as well. So the Dvar Yoshua has a suffix that if we assume, like Tosis, that Chazal decided to Mechayiv Asuma in Mitzvahs Midrabanan, so should we say this is true about Chukim Mishpatim as well? So the Dvar Yoshua assume that. It's only the Chazal only felt that a person is going to look like a person is going to look like a non-Jew if he wasn't doing mitzvahs, so they wanted to make a din drabanan to do mitzvahs. But they didn't feel this should necessarily apply to chukam and mishpatim as well. And he says even if you want to say that everything in chukam and mishpatim is all logical, is all something you can figure out, which is not necessarily the case, but even to the extent to which that's true, it's okay. So if somebody decides to follow these rules because they're logical, that's one thing. But to say that there's a mitzvah Torah on them for the Shuvah within Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't so convinced about that. He also had a suffix about Pidgin Aben, because he thought there might be a case to say that even though normally Sumo should be potter for mitzvahs according to Rabbi Yehuda, but maybe Pidgin Aben is a chiyuv really on the child, and the father is really fulfilling the mitzvah on the child. So maybe we should say that the father of a non-Sumo should have an obligation to be poda his son, even though he's normally not chayv mitzvahs. And he rejects that havmin as well. He doesn't think that's so compelling. It's another one of the discussions, the many, many discussions that take place in Shuvahs within this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. There is a major discussion in Halacha as to whether or not, this is according to everybody, whether or not a Summa can get an Aliyah. The Shulchan Aruch seems to take the opinion that, especially nowadays, when the person who gets Aliyah is not really laning, it used to be that the person who gets Aliyah is supposed to lane, but nowadays the person who gets Aliyah is not really laning, so the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Taz, all in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes and Arachayim, all have a discussion about this, all taking the lenient opinion, especially with Manazad, that we should let a Summa get an Aliyah. And this is a lengthy tshuva in the Shuvas Masses Ben Yamin, who felt this was the case as well. And Siman Samach Beis. But there is a long tshuva also in the Shelus Yavetz, Yaakov Emden, whose tshuva in Siman Ayin Hey, where he goes into a whole discussion where he thinks it's not true. He thinks that a Summa should not be allowed to get an Aliyah. It's a question what the Lamdus is about, whether that's something that has to do with Summa or has to do with Kriyas HaTorah. In the Tshuva Shraga HaMeir, he has a discussion as to what the real purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is, and he suggests that this machlokus is relevant. The Shuvah Shraga HaMeir discusses perhaps one could be choker, what is the nature of a person in getting aliyah? Is it really, or Kriyas HaTorah in general? Is it really just a mitzvah of listening to Divrei Torah? Is that what the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is? And there, Asuma is really equally obligated in that, equally relevant to that, so why not? And, or is it perhaps that there is an obligation to read the Torah? And just everyone seems to do that b'shutfus or through Shemei Ka'one, and really the mitzvah is the reading of the Torah. And if that's true, then maybe a Summa really is not so relevant to that. It's
can
also...
Can you lane?
You can't lane because you can't see. You have to read Mitzvah itself.
Yeah. Why did you say
but that's not right. Braille's not going to be considered reading.
Why do you say that's relevant to all the opinions?
Oh, so this, because this is machlokas halacha lemaisa. Because here, you come up to the issue of what about the fact that basically the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah might involve reading, and reading is something that's physically impossible for a Summa. And. Oh, so that's what the Chakias with the Shraga Meir is discussing, that if the mitzvah is listening, maybe that's why we have this opinion. According to Ben Yeruchim. Oh, right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that according to all opinions, is that until now we were just discussing within Rabbi Yehuda, who was patering a Summa. Now I'm saying, forget about Rabbi Yehuda for a second, even according to us, maybe there's still a question of whether or not a Summa is relevant to Kriyas HaTorah. A related question also, Shaymer Kaviyach HaTargum. Both of these impact on the fact that Gemara says also that Dvarim Shebechsav, you can't say Baal Peh, and vice versa, so if a person is not allowed to read, they're not able to read, so that would impact his ability both to lane and to shtad mikvah katargim. So that's a question of Tshuvas HaRadbaz. The Tshuvas HaRadbaz has a tshuva about this. I think it's quoted in Poskim as well, Where first he says, all right, Lachar is one of the mitzvahs of Rabbanan, it should be part of the whole question of whether or not the Sum is Chayiv mitzvahs. And then he says, actually, maybe even if he is, maybe it's not Shayach to be Mechayiv him because of Dvarim Shviksav. So that's a little bit similar to the Aliyah question. Fifth Eliezer quotes from a number of sources who seem to point out that the minhag seems to be that the Summa does get an Aliyah. And the context he was discussing where somebody was publicly embarrassed because a Summa was called a Talmid Chacham who was a Summa was called to the Torah, he thinks that's highly inappropriate. Because first of all, he seems to think that the minhag seems to be that a Summa does get an Aliyah. And in any case, there's certainly a strong enough opinion that it shouldn't be appropriate to make a big deal of it in any case. So that's one context in which this Summa issue comes up, even beyond Rabbi Yehuda. So let's assume that we all paskin against Rabbi Yerucham, that Summa is really chayiv mitzvahs, but there are a number of discussions where it's still going to play a role even beyond that. So Aliyah is one of them because it involves Dvar Shvachsav, and there are many, many other discussions we're not going to even discuss all tonight, just to mention a couple others that the Gemara talks about and others talk about. The Gemara says also Umsachim alav kufta zayin from Sukkim that the Summa is pater from Hagara. Meshech Chachma has a drush about this, and it says that because the whole point of Haggadah is to feel like you were a slave and then you're set free. And a person who is sightless feels like he's in a dark room all the time. It's hard for him to experience this feeling of being set free. I don't know if that's the only way to look at it, but that's the way Meshech Chachma discusses it. There's a similar discussion in relation to Chagiga. The Gemara tells in the beginning of Chagiga that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, of showing up in the Beis HaMikdash on the Regalim, a Summa is pater from that also. And in favor of the Rashi and the Chakarti, has a whole analysis that the point of Aliyah L'Regel is not just coming to Beis HaMikdash, but it's coming to see the godless of the Beis HaMikdash and to contrast that with your own humanity, your own lower humanity. And the person who is unable to see is somehow not really able to partake fully in this mitzvah. Sorry? There's also a discussion in Poskim about Neres Chanukah. The Maharshal and his Chuvis, and some Samach Zayin, I think, was of the opinion that Summa is Chayiv in Neres Chanukah. Samach Zayin. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, once again, in his Moruk Tzia, not in the Shilas Yavit, in his Moruk Tzia, took issue with this and thought that Summa should be Pater. And the Shevet Alevi of Lesner has a chuv about this in Chelik Dalet in Siman Samach Vav, where he felt that the Morik Tzia was wrong, and he thought that at least on some level there is an obligation of Summa in Neiris Chanukah. It's also a question, what about the bracha of Fokei Chivrim? That the Magen Avram felt that a Summa shouldn't make that bracha, and the Prechadish disagreed. Ravazi Yosef has a chuv about this, in which he points out, discusses a general discussion as far as all these brachas HaShachar are concerned. Are they meant to be taken literally? Are they meant to be taken to apply to the individuals making them? Are they more general? So it seems to be the fact that the Magen Avram felt that a Summa shouldn't make the bracha, that he felt that the brachas are literal and personal. But since there is opposing opinion, he felt that it's not something he should make a big deal about, and if a Summa wants to make this bracha, so it's not something that necessarily has to be opposed. There are a number of other topics in halacha that come up also. We're not going to spend a long time on them, but beyond chiyuv mitzvahs, one topic that's discussed in shuvahs is the topic of seeing eye dogs. That if a sumo walks around with a dog, so normally we assume that it's inappropriate to bring a dog into a shul. It's supposed to be a chisaron in Kavod Beis HaKnesset. So it's a big question in Poskim, if a person has a seeing eye dog, so is it acceptable to bring that into a shul? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a shuv in Aruch Chaim Nissim Memhei, where he took the position that it was permissible. He has the raya from Yerushalmi and Megillah. And opposing him was Rav Yaakov Breish in his shuv as Chelkas Yaakov in Siman Lama Dalet, where he felt that the raya wasn't true, and he thought that one should be machmer on this. It's interesting to note, you know, this topic certainly brings to mind the memory of our dear friend Rabbi Yosef Winevsky, Zechtzak Levracha. So, Rabbi Winevsky, you may recall, people who are a little bit older may recall that he had a friend who passed away a number of years ago. His name was Rabbi Schneider. He was a Talmud Chacham who lived in Monticello. And Rabbi Winevsky used to speak to him all the time. And recently, they've been releasing Svarim of the Ksavim of Rabbi Schneider. So Rabbi Schneider, in his in these klavim that are printed, Divrei Shlomo has a discussion. Happens to have a lot about Tzumah in general, but he also has a discussion of this tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. And he wasn't so convinced by Ramosha's logic. He didn't feel that the svara that Ramosha has for allowing a suma to bring a dog into a shul was per se so compelling. But he felt that for other reasons, perhaps it's not such a terrible thing. He thought, you know, luchachil, you should try to avoid it if you have a way of leaving the dog outside. But if there's no other way, he didn't think it was so terrible. He thought that being the circumstances being what they are, that it's not something that's necessarily going to lead to a Zilzul-based Knesset. And he has a discussion of why he thinks it's not the end of the world. In Beis Yitzchak, a year or two ago, Rabbi Shechter, in his recollections of the Rav, I don't know if this is in the new Sefer or not, but Rabbi Shechter has a discussion there that apparently there was an incident where a blind man brought a seeing eye dog into a shul, and the members of the shul told him to take it outside, and there was a whole fight, and somebody got hurt in the middle of the fight, and they brought it to a court, to a secular court, and to sue for the damages. And the judge, secular judge, said it depends on what Jewish law is. Is it acceptable to bring the dog into the shul? That if it was acceptable, the guy was within his rights to bring the dog into the shul, so they had no right to push him out. But if it was unacceptable, and if it was not appropriate to bring the dog into the shul, so then the people in the shul were right. So he said they asked the Rav, and the Rav thought at the time that he felt it was not appropriate, that it was a violation of Kav Beis HaKnesses. Rabbi Jachter has a discussion about this in his writings, where he quotes from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein related that the Rav was making on this. So yeah, I think he also, in his later versions, he discusses that Rabbi Shechter quotes the opposite story, he tries to mash it, I don't know the different versions of what the Rav's opinion was about this, but this is a major topic in Halakha. Another side point that comes up, there is a tshuva in the Shuvas Van Haggis, Rav Sternbach has a tshuva, what about a Summa Talmud Chacham, so what about standing up for him? So we have a mitzvah of kima, of hider for a Talmud Chacham, so maybe that's only true if a Talmud Chacham is able to see that that's happening. But if the Talmud Chacham is a Summa and he's not able to see, so is there an obligation? So Rav Sternbach felt there wasn't an obligation in Atari, but he thought that Mijabanan was still appropriate, still a manifestation of Kavod Atari. The fact is he can't see it, so he's not going to really feel a Kavod from this, but your act of Kavod is still a Mitzvah Drabanan, is what he felt. The major topic that comes up, which does bring us back, we'll see in a second also, to some of the points I mentioned earlier, what about Shabbos? What about being Mechal? So we know that one is permitted to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save somebody's life. What if somebody's eye is at risk? So when is one permitted to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save someone's eye? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Nafkav Zayin and Midbeis, sounds like that the Gemara believes that a danger to the eye is considered to be Pikuach Nefesh. So it's a question whether or not that impacts on halacha nowadays, whether or not we can allow Chil Shabbos for that reason. Let's say the doctor tells you that, look, I know he's not going to die, it's not really, there's no Sakonis Nefesh involved, it's only a danger to the eye, so can one be Mechal Shabbos in order to save an eye? So it's a question in Poskim. And with the Menachos Lachlamayis, it's a Eliezer has a discussion in which he points out that on the one hand, you could say that the Gemara was Koveya, that Sakonis Ayin is considered like Bikuach Nefesh. And it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter if the doctor tells you that it's not going to really be Bikuach Nefesh. The fact is, halachically, it's considered to be Bikuach Nefesh. Or, even if you're not convinced by that, he says there are positions in Poskim, I think the Shach, that were Mechal Shabbos for Sakonis Aver. That we're not only Mechal Shabbos for to save someone's life, but even, let's say, somebody's arm is at risk, we're Mechal Shabbos for that. So the Eliezer felt you could put these two shittos together and be Mechal Shabbos for Sakonis Ayin, because perhaps we consider Pikuach Nefesh, and if it's not Pikuach Nefesh, it's at least Sakonis Aver, and that should be enough to allow Pikuach Nefesh. That's the way Eliezer explains it. In the Chochmah Shlomo and Shulchan Aruch, he has a very creative approach which takes things along a very different angle. The Chochmah Shlomo suggests as follows. One can be Mechal Shabbos to save two eyes. If a person is at risk of going blind on Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. If it's just one eye, then no. Why? Where does he get this from? He says, why is it that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save someone's life?
says, because the Mara has this expression, Chalel Lav Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shishmer Shabbos Harbe. So if a person is going to die, so they're never going to be able to keep Shabbos again, so better you should Mechal Shabbos now and save his life so he can keep Shabbos many times. So, writes the Chacham Shlomo, if a person is going to become blind, he's not going to be able to keep Shabbos either, because it's going to be Potter and Amitzvahs. Now, first of all, that's assuming that you're Potter from most essays also. But either way, what about the fact that we don't hold like that? Right? What about the fact that we hold like, that's only Rabbi Yerucham, we hold like everybody else, that is Summa is Chayim and Amitzvahs. So, writes the Chacham Shlomo, no, ain't Holchen Bikuach Nefesh Achar Arov. That because it's Pikuach Nefesh, because we're dealing with the Svar of Pikuach Nefesh, therefore we can pass them like a minority. It's a fascinating approach. I would guess that if one's going to make on the Shaila, there'll probably be something more on the Sitzel Yez's approach than on this approach, but it's an interesting approach that's quoted and is worth knowing about. This topic is relevant also, this issue of whether we call it Pikuach Nefesh or not is relevant also to another issue of the halacha, and that is the issue of cornea transplants. That in general, transplants involve a lot of issues. But let's take away all brain death issues. Let's say a person wants to get a transplant from someone who is definitely dead. So take away all brain death issues. So still, there are other issues that are involved, right? There's a prohibition of getting hanom and hames, the prohibition of nivul hames. You're not allowed to get any benefit from a dead body, and are allowed to cut up a dead body. So it's not so simple that one is allowed to take a transplant, take an organ from somebody who's deceased. However, when it's something that's a matter of life or death, so we generally assume that pikuach nefesh is docha these yisurim of hanam and ameis dimlo meis. It's actually a little bit of a discussion, it's a binyan sin, whatever it is, but in general that's how we might assume. However, what about when you're dealing with corneas? So corneas, so do we say that that could maybe, in some cases, restore someone's sight. But is that enough of a reason then to violate the Zisurim? Is that Pikuach Nefesh to the same extent? So it was well known that one of the chief rabbis of Israel, Unterman, was of the opinion that it was permissible. Because, he said, three reasons. He said, one is that the Gemara seems to say that it's Pikuach Nefesh. Two is that perhaps the cornea is only considered Or Hames, the skin of the mace. It's a question whether or not there's an Isra Hana on that as well. And thirdly, he had a very mechudish opinion, which impacts a lot of other things, is that, yeah, so you're not allowed to benefit from a mace. But once a body part is transplanted into a living person, it becomes alive again. It's not a mace. So that's, everything is okay again. It's not a problem. So the 3H has a tshuva about this in Chelek Beis, where he disagrees with all of Runciman's reasons. He says that, first of all, okay, so the Gemara says Pikuach Nefesh, but again, let's say we're talking about a case where we know it's not impacting on his Pikuach Nefesh. Second of all, many Rishonim believe that Oremes is also Asur Bahana. And third of all, okay, so he comes back to life. In order to do that, you're being Nenem and Oremes. And the fascinating tshuva about this also in the tshuva's Har Tzvi. If we take a look, he has a very interesting approach to this as well. So the 3DA says he's not really convinced by any of these svaras, but he feels that maybe there still might be room to be makil. Maybe you want to say it's pikuach nefesh because a person's life is at risk in general if they're not able to see and to navigate in the streets. He's not really sure. In the end, he says, okay, he's not so sure it's mutter, but lamaisa he knows that they're gedolim who are makil, so he doesn't feel that he can disagree. But he wasn't so convinced by any of Rav Intiman's svaras. Okay, it's a little bit late, so maybe we'll just quickly recap and then we'll end here. So we discussed a little bit some of the concepts nogeya to a summa and halacha. We discussed the position of Rabbi Yehuda that summa is pater and mikol ha-mitzvahs. We discussed the position of Tosfos that only means minatar ben jabarin lechayev against the Rashba. We discussed the chakir of Moshe Feinstein as to what this says about the nature of pater of a summa. We discussed the question of whether a summa is pater from Rav Moshe Feinstein's Chakir. We discussed the
Chakira in the Prima Gadim and the positions of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Beger as to whether the Ptur is from Los Haseis as well. We discussed the Rai in the Apartis, but that's the Los Haseis. Talked about whether or not they assume it's Chayim Mitzvah Noah from the Chassinus position that he is, the Safak and Mecha Shlomo, and how that might be relevant to the Be'er Sarim's discussion of Priyas Chov. We talked about the Chakir and the Kligola, whether or not a Summa is bound by his Nadarim, and also whether or not the criticism of the Gemara of one who takes Nadarim is applicable to a Soda, excuse me, to a Summa. And we discussed also the position of Rabbi Naturim of Vienna, explaining why he felt that a Summa can be mostly B'nai Beso in Kiddush and other such things. We discussed as well the Chakiras and the conclusions in the Tshuvas of Ar Yeshua about whether or not a Summa is Chayiv and Chukum Mishpat Midrabanan and whether or not a Summa is Chayiv and Midrana Ben. And we talked also about some things that are beyond Rabbi Huda, even according to us, even if we pass against Rabbi Huda, the question of a Summa getting an Aliyah, the position of Shulchan Aruch and Ramon that has in favor and the Shos Yavitz against, and the Chakir of the Shraga HaMeir discusses as to the nature of Kriyas HaTorah in general and how that might impact on this. And then we talked about also the Ptur Summa from Haggadah and the Ptur Summa from Chagiga and different Hezbeirim of that. By the way, just one thing I forgot to mention is also a tshuva in the Minchas Elazar puts together the different sfeikas and he says, Maisa, what about a mitzvah say midrabanan? Is a summa chayiv in that? If we say maybe he's only chayiv in los haseis and in mitzvahs drabanan, in mitzvahs in general, midrabanan. Sorry? Right, so that would also probably, but that's according to Hanukkah, is according to us. He's talking about it even within Rabbi Huda. So, right, but we did mention also Hanukkah, so what about Hanukkah? The position of the Marshal that a Summa is Chayiv near Hanukkah, and the Morik see against that, and discussed as well the Chuvah of Shevet Halevi, who was against also the Morik Tziyah, favored obligating a Summa in near Hanukkah. And discussed as well the question of Pekeach Ivrim and the Magen Avraham recommending a Summa does not say this and the Pri Chodesh against that and the Rav Avi Yosef discussion about this. And then we discussed the question of a seeing eye dog or Moshe Feinstein being Mekel on this, Michal Kseyakov being Machmer, and the Divrei Shlomo's discussion where he wasn't so convinced by Moshe Zisvara, but Lamaisa, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. And we discussed Rav Shechter's story in the Beis Yitzchak about the fight that took place and the question that was brought to the Rav and relating that the Rav felt that it was inappropriate for a dog to be brought into the Beis Knesset. And we discussed as well the question of Tzivos on Haggis about standing up for Summa Talmud Chacham, and then we talked about the question of B'Machal Shabbos for Sakanas Ayin, the position of the Tzitz Eliezer that we could take the Gemara as established fact that it's Pikuach Nefesh, or at least we can mitzaref that with the Shittas that Sakanas Aver is also Docha Shabbos. We discussed the position of the Chacham Shlomo that we're allowed to be Machal Shabbos, so to avoid allowing someone to become blind should pattern from mitzvahs according to Rabbi Huda and according to Rabbi Yerucham, and we can pass him like a das yachay because in halacha b'kuch nefesh acharov. And then we talked also about the question of cornea transplants and how does that relate to the b'kuch nefesh issue. We mentioned Rav Unterman's heter and three reasons, and the Sridi Eish is disputing these three reasons, but his own lack of willingness to really commit against it, and the fact of the discussion of this as well in Shiva's Har Tzvi, and that's what we got up to. There's a lot more to say about this. It's a very large topic, but we're going to leave that for now. And Amir Tashem next week, something else. All right. Have a wonderful show.